Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
I'm like, where?
You haven't seen any of them.
Is everybody? And I, my heart just, whew. Check my email. My tea time was at 8.
They're already
not out. 9. They're out there.
Oh, man.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Are the Northern Lights nature?
I would say yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
I ask just because we think of nature as like weather phenomenon or more geological
sure.
things.
All of the things, I guess.
Right, and there occur, what, you've got the sun's rays bouncing off of magnetized particles.
Yeah, that's
in
a
the
natural
atmosphere.
Phenomenon.
It is natural,
right?
But is it like, do we consider that Mother Nature?
Sure.
Neither here nor there, really. I just pose the question here is, we've had the Northern Lights allegedly on display.
Yeah.
I still have yet to see.
I went out and tried to take pictures Friday night, and it's just not.
Did you catch anything? No.
No. Got some good pictures of the sky, but it wasn't anything fancy on it. So.
I find that the picture always looks better than the naked eye. I'll take a shot
They've
with
been
my
saying
phone,
that lately.
And I'll
yes.
look at my phone. I'm like, oh, that looks pretty nice.
Wish I had seen that.
Yeah.
Right. North of the city, for sure, some beautiful pictures over the last week or so. I raised this because, depending on where you are, you might be able to get in on another spectacle. Water spouts expected to form over Lake Michigan once again early this week. A few Sunday popped up. Some pics and video on social media. TMJ4 meteorologist Kristen Kershane had some pictures of them offshore in Ozaukee County yesterday.
Cool.
So National Weather Service says conditions are favorable for these forming through Tuesday. So today, tomorrow, you might still get a chance. They look like tornadoes, and sometimes they are. So like a twister that spawns during severe weather that moves out over water, for example, that is a water spout. However, these would be fair weather water spouts, not born of severe weather.
Okay.
And what causes them is the relatively warmer water temperatures on the lake, and then you have cooler air aloft, and then winds converge and create sort of that rising effect, which makes it look like, you know, a tornado.
They are super cool to look at.
If you're on the water, they're dangerous, like wind speeds 50 miles an hour plus, but for the most part, right, they're far offshore, and you're just here safely on shore looking at them.
Yeah.
You see one? No?
I've seen them in
with
the Gulf.
With your eyes? Oh, all right.
Yes. And actually, we were sailing once in the Gulf and saw one and watched it, and then we came to shore, and the guy's like, hey, did you see the water spout? I'm like, yeah, that was neat.
Awesome.
He goes, why didn't you come back?
Then why are you only just now coming in?
Right.
Yeah. Pretty smart. So that's what that will be if you see that over Lake Michigan next couple of days. 6:14, we got sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Welcome back, Romeo Doubs.
On third and four, here comes the blitz. Garnett providing the pressure. Love lofts it up. Oh, what an adjustment! Romeo Doubs! The 20-yard touchdown!
Three catches on the day, two of them for touchdowns. Fox Sports on the call, and the Packers roll 34-13, the final over the Arizona Cardinals. Doubs, who missed the previous game due to suspension, much talked about, embraced by his teammates after his first score.
We say it all the time, we're in this together. So it's never a one-man show, and if it is, it's wrong. So, nah, man, I mean, that was a moment. It was a surreal moment, you know, but we all know better that, you know, got a team win. We're just ready to move forward.
So that's a pretty good way to put this all behind you, right? Has a good week of practice, answers the questions ultimately from reporters, goes out and performs, done. I'm good.
Yeah, fine.
You good now?
Yeah,
right?
Let's move on, right?
So that's a good way to move on. It's interesting just watching his post-game comments. Like, he was very subdued.
He seemed like that on the field, too.
Yeah, just kind of like, all right, taking it all in.
Yeah, because if he would have been too over the top on the field,
yeah,
wouldn't there have been a little bit of rubbing everyone the wrong way?
It's like, oh, yeah, right. So, like, still, it seemed like the right balance.
Very self-conscious of how he was acting.
I totally agree. Like, fully in that moment, realizing what had transpired, but also, like, trying desperately to move on, and that's a great way to do it. Jordan Love, four touchdowns, one pick, 258 yards passing. Packers at home again on Sunday Texans come to down for another noon kick.
How about the NFC North, by the way? Packers win easy. Good. The Lions beat up on the Cowboys. The Bears dominate the Jaguars.
Boat races.
Yeah, a bunch of boat races yesterday for the NFC North. Vikings are 5-0. They were on a bye. There was been talk now of who would host the Super Bowl. Remember there was talk, oh, maybe Green Bay someday would host a Super Bowl, whatever.
Yes, we should really put that to rest.
But how about this? This past weekend, Commissioner Roger Goodell suggesting perhaps the Super Bowl will be held internationally one day.
We've always traditionally tried to play the Super Bowl in an NFL city. That was always a sort of a reward for the cities that have NFL franchises. But things change. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that happens one day.
Ooh, where would it be first? Likely London, we would all assume, right?
Yeah, more and more games being played there. Would you, that stadium where they've been playing a lot of these games, that Tottenham Spur, whatever they call that.
Yeah, they seem to really like it there.
That's only 60-some thousand, though. Wembley is 90. Can you do it at Wembley?
Why not?
So that would seem like probably the better venue.
We'll see if that ever happens, but anyway... The commissioner leaving the door open. The Mets lose to the Dodgers in the game one of the NLCS. Preseason basketball tonight. Bucks and Bulls from Fiserv Forum. Our coverage right here on WDTMJ starts at 6:30. Tip is 7 o'clock.
Coming up next, an interesting conversation about how the disasters in the Southeast will affect all of us. That story next on Wisconsin's Morning News. It could have been closer to $1 trillion. More on that stunning figure as we get into this segment this morning. Still 500,000 people without power in Florida in the wake of Hurricane Milton. This guy here talking about surviving the storm, but then having to flee his home when a power transformer exploded.
We got to get out of here. My wife grabbed the baby and we ended up coming out of the garage. I had to pull the emergency thing and just kind of throw it up, and then we haul butt out of here.
Ooh. Grab the baby. We got to go. President Biden touring the damage over the weekend. Had an interesting conversation with our local insurance provider, R&R Insurance. They do our insurance here for Good Karma Brands. Mm-hmm. And from time to time, you hear me talking with Jeff Salasinski from R&R. And he was telling me, you know, when they have these big storms and they know they're coming, big hurricane, it's churning. We're talking about where it's going to make landfall. In the days ahead, these insurance companies, they're already planning. They are talking with their policyholders.
Protecting their personal safety first, telling them to evacuate if that makes sense, or take cover. We'll deal with the claim circumstances, the loss, the physical property damage later.
Salasinski, VP of Insurance Operations at R&R Insurance. So listen to some of these numbers for Hurricane Milton.
It'll be in the tens of billions of dollars for sure, Vince, from an insured loss standpoint.
Okay.
An economic loss will be well above $100 billion.
Wow.
And it could have been worse. Here's how. Remember, the storm made landfall just south of the Tampa area. But what were we talking about? 24 hours, even 12 hours out?
Where evacuate or die if it hits Tampa.
Tampa.
Underwater.
Exactly. Had it been a direct hit on Tampa?
Some of the industry information we were looking at and the industry publishes is that if this would have went west to east, and I speak of Hurricane Milton,
yeah.
If it would have went west to east into Tampa Bay, it would have been in excess of $200 billion in insured loss and several hundred billion dollars in economic loss.
Several hundred billion.
Can't even comprehend that.
And you heard him say that, speaking of Hurricane Milton, yes, Milton alone, because he had to clarify, because you also simultaneously have this devastation from Hurricane Helene in multiple states, Florida, Georgia, Carolinas, just to name a few, unless we get complacent around here and say, well, I don't have folks down there and I don't have property down there, so this doesn't affect me. Here's how it does. Insurance companies, did you know, also buy insurance. So all the big insurance providers that provide your insurance, they insure the insurance they're providing to you. And so when you have these huge disasters and catastrophes, the costs go up.
The insurance companies that operate here in the state of Wisconsin in the upper Midwest buy their insurance, their reinsurance, from the same companies that are providing that insurance cover in Florida or in California or in Hawaii or on the East Coast. So those large events, when we're talking tens of billions of dollars, add up and everyone contributes.
So even if you're like, who's big here? Like American Family, okay? Based right here in Wisconsin, largely a Midwest provider,
sure.
Right? So Why would they be affected? Because they buy insurance on the insurance they provide to you from these same companies. And Salazinski, that's, again, Jeff Salazinski, VP Insurance Operations at R&R Insurance. Salazinski says, you know, when costs, there are only a few other places that are providing the insurance for everybody. So even if you're Midwest based, those companies are going to bear some of the cost of this. So climate change, right? We talk about that all the time. Taking these disasters even out of that debate, you know, are the storms bigger? Are they more powerful? Are there more other? Regardless, inflation has driven up the cost of everything. So rebuilding homes, businesses, infrastructure is so much more expensive now than even it was a few years ago.
Your home, it takes much more money to replace or repair after an event than it did, say, 3 years ago. Everything's more expensive. Your car, getting it repaired or getting it serviced. The labor's expensive. The building materials are expensive. The auto parts are expensive. Everything that's happening in today's world, whether it's supply chain, catastrophic weather, are putting pressure on price, and it's going up.
No kidding. I mean, I had that fender bender I got rear-ended a while back, right?
Yeah.
It was $3,000+ damage. It wasn't even a big deal. Like, I felt it, but like, it wasn't
right.
Like my car wasn't smashed all to bits or anything like that. So everything is more expensive. So putting it back into the what can I do about this, Salazinski at R&R Insurance with this piece of advice. Good idea to review how and for how much you are insured, home and auto.
It's not even just to say you've got the wrong coverage, but if you had a limit of insurance that you haven't really looked at or evaluated in 2 or 3 years, it's not enough. It needs to go up.
Yeah, so I don't know how he could say it more clearly. If you haven't looked at what you're covered over the last several years, you're behind.
You better.
Right, because for sure it costs more now. These storms, devastating, but not here, obviously, just in the Southeast. We're all going to bear some part of that burden. The big play in Sunday's game, the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur admits he didn't see. That story coming up at 6:45.
You know what I like to do sometimes? You ever do this where you Google a story or a topic that you know is in the news and you're just curious how the headlines read?
Okay, yeah.
So, Halloween spending. This is one of those typical stories this time of year. How much are we spending on Halloween stuff? You start to see it, you know. Here are some of the headlines I just pulled up this morning. Troubled retailers face a Halloween crunch with consumers spending less.
Oh, okay.
Struggling retailers brace for Halloween consumer spending slump is another one. Then I read this one. Halloween spending expected to hit near record high. And then this one.
Which one is it?
Halloween spending to top $11.5 billion.
Boy, I hope that's up and not down.
So last year we had a record setting of $12.2 billion. Oh, okay. This year we're probably closer to 11.6 or 11.7. So that means we're bracing for a struggle now because we're only spending an $11.5 billion this Halloween.
And if we're spending as a country $11 billion+ on Halloween, we should be okay.
You think that's like, okay? Then,
are we
right?
All right?
I mean, how many devil costumes do you need? Or the blow-up thing in the yard.
That's just it. You got to buy the candy, right, for the trick-or-treat. Costumes for the kids.
Yep.
That's all you have to do.
The big one this year, what I've noticed more and more of, you know, the blow-up, colorful, lit-up figures in the yard. Yeah. That's been a couple of years now. But now I'm seeing more like graveyards, more like bones half-buried in the yard. That's becoming a bigger thing.
I'm seeing some of them are creepier and creepier, too.
Yeah.
Like they're scaring me. In the middle of the day, I'm just driving by.
He got the inflatables.
Yeah, you got some of those?
Yes, Disney inflatables.
Ah, yes.
You know.
Are they scary?
Of course. There's one because it doesn't stay up. It's a huge arch, and it is Jack Skellington. And Jack doesn't like to stay upright, so he likes to fall down.
But not by design?
Not by design, no. So that's just that extra little oomph of what the heck?
It's not scary. Those are just sad.
Right.
6:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Not adult behavior. It's not. You said I'm being overly hard on myself.
I definitely think you're being overly hard on yourself.
Why? This should not happen.
I'm not saying
an adult should not do this. Like this, you should know when you're supposed to be at stuff.
So did you miss a meeting?
No.
Did you miss a payment?
I missed several holes of golf.
Yes. Okay. Please explain.
What had happened was, so I'm getting ready for, a 9 o'clock tee time, playing golf on Sunday morning, right? Mm-hmm. Record the Packer game, come back, catch up then, you know, a little bit. Yeah. So really nice. Taking my time. I was up at 6 a.m. Taking my time, looking at my stuff, doing this, get my calendar right, a little bit of work around the house, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Running ahead of schedule. Stop for a little coffee. Sure, I got time. I'm out there on the practice range, you know, to warm up. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm looking around, and there were about 16 of us playing. So we have four tee times. And I'm looking, none of these other guys are there. And I look to my left, and there's four other jamokes out there just to play around. And I'm thinking, I don't know when you guys think you're getting out, but we've got the next, like, four tee times. Like, joke's on you guys.
Yeah. You're chuckling at them.
It just seemed odd. It's now like 8:15. I'm like, where?
They haven't seen any of them.
Is everybody? And I, my heart just, whew. Check my email. My tee time was at 8.
They're already
not on. 9. They're out there.
Oh, man.
So then I had to do the walk, fast run of shame through like several holes, other golfers on the course. Like, what? I'm like, yeah. And they're like,
Excuse me.
What time does the 8 o'clock tee time go off?
Why didn't they text you?
I played 15 holes of golf.
Which actually seems like a perfect number in my book.
It's not. You either play 9 or you play 18. And I don't like to play 9, much as 15.
I was going to say, you probably didn't feel good the whole day. So you think that's not adult behavior?
That's so bad.
You're super embarrassed.
That's so bad.
Come on, you think you're the only person who's been late to a tee time or missed something?
I'm not. You should not be. You should know when your stuff is.
I think I missed a meeting last week.
Here? You just spaced one?
Yeah, I'm terrible about that.
Okay, but then somebody upstairs goes like, hey, you coming to this meeting?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody came and got me. They just laughed when I showed up. I need new friends, too. 6:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Green Bay Packers with a disappointing showing Sunday against the Cardinals.
What are you talking about?
Xavier McKinney, no interceptions. What a joke.
I'm so disappointed.
This defense is terrible. This guy's terrible.
Yeah. Come on.
Trey, cut him. Put him on the bus. Honestly, how did we not pick off Kyler Murray, actually?
A little surprised by that, actually. Right?
Defense for the Packers, just nasty.
Kyler Murray back to Connor again. Connor lost the football. Ball is out at the 30-yard line. Stripped out by Carl Brooks. Packers are saying they have it. The officials agree.
Fox Sports on the call. Carl Brooks rips the ball out. I don't know if I've ever said that man's name before.
Carl Brooks.
Second-year player for the Packers, snuffing out hopes of a third-quarter comeback for the Cardinals as the Packers were up 31-13 at that point. Coach, did you see my ball? Did you see that play?
I didn't quite see that live. I was looking at the pictures or whatever, trying to make some adjustments.
He runs the offense, so he's looking at stuff. What happened?
Hey, all right, nice job.
So no picks, but we did have three turnovers on the day, all fumble recoveries for the Pack.
You know, you can talk about it and drill it till you're blue in the face in terms of punching at the ball and making a conscious effort of really attacking the football. But those guys got to go out there and do it, and that's what we're seeing.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur there. Green Bay 34-13 winners. Next up, we got the Houston Texans. Another noon kick at Lambeau.
Here's the reality. We have a lot of noon home games. We're a shitty team.
Remember that from a few years
ago?
Yes. Packers president Mark Murphy addressing the annual shareholders meeting. We'll buckle up for prime time. The Packers do have four prime time games in a row. Late November into mid-December, so we will get ours.
I don't think I can agree with Murphy there anymore, so the Packers win easy.
Boat race.
Well, how about the rest of the North?
Boat races.
Yes, the Lions beat down the Cowboys. The Bears dominate the Jaguars, and of course the Vikings are undefeated. They had their bye this past week, so North looking pretty good at the moment. Wait till they start playing each other. On Sunday Night Football, Giants and Bengals, it was happening at the same time the Mets were playing the Dodgers in the NLCS. So here's how it sounded on NBC, Mike Tirico.
Welcome into those of you who have come on over from the Dodgers winning game one of the National League Championship Series 9-0 against the Mets, although if you stayed until that very last out, you are a Mets diehard.
9-0.
I could still come back.
Mets lose. Giants, by the way, did lose to the Bengals 17-7 last night.
Signing Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 6:49. .653 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I don't have Saturday's forecast yet, E, but hoping for good weather. You've got your big Diabetes walk coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Breakthrough T1D walk. It's a walk. Just a walk. It's
just ease on into it. That's
it's a celebration. And also raising money for type 1 diabetes, which I live with type 1 diabetes. I've had it 40 years now. And the coolest part is when you just have all of these people come together, not only to raise a ton of money to find a cure, but also like to realize that you're not alone. You know, whether you're a child living with type 1 diabetes or if you're the parent of a new type 1 diabetic, because that's stressful as a mom and dad. Raising money, obviously, to find a cure to prevent type 1 diabetes. You met Morgan, didn't you, at the golf event a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, you shared her story, and then I actually met her, and she's like, I'm Morgan, your friend Eric. And I'm like, you're that Morgan?
Yeah. So Morgan, we told you this story last year. Wanted to bring this back. Morgan is a Pewaukee soccer player who also lives with type 1 diabetes. Imagine if you had to inject medicine every time you ate anything. And if you didn't take the right amount, you'd risk going unconscious or worse.
Like a newborn getting up all the time, except it's a life or death situation.
It was a successful afternoon at the Pewaukee Sports Complex.
How'd the game go today?
We won 3-1.
All right. And how do you feel?
Good. Strong.
Morgan Kale is 9 years old.
Hey, how's the blood sugar? Everything good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're dropping a little bit right now.
Yeah, I get it.
Post-activity.
Right. I saw you crushing orange, right?
Yep.
Anne is Morgan's mother.
Morgan is the youngest of three. She's a fourth grader, plays soccer, loves it. Very caring, helpful individual.
Morgan lives with type 1 diabetes. It's otherwise known as T1D.
You have to get shots and your pancreas doesn't work anymore. So you have to put insulin in your body.
Morgan was diagnosed 2 years ago.
How did that go? Was that a surprise? Did that come out of nowhere?
It came out of nowhere. There, we have no family history. Felt kind of familiar with it, but you're not familiar until you're in it. For sure.
So when that happened, how are you feeling?
Oh my gosh, so overwhelmed, very scared. Yeah. Trying to hold back tears, right? Because you're your kid. You want to make it seem like it's not so bad, but it is. It is scary because everything changes. Everything changes.
So what exactly is it? Well, if you live with T1D, in a nutshell, it means your pancreas no longer creates insulin, which is used to control your body's blood sugar. That means anytime you eat something, you need to inject the exact amount of insulin into your body in order to keep your blood sugar at a healthy level. If you don't, you risk a blood sugar that goes high or goes too low.
I like feel like tired, droopy, and like hard to stay awake.
Confused sometimes?
Yeah, confused.
A high blood sugar means long-term damage to your body. A low blood sugar means possibly slipping into unconsciousness or worse. Anne says this can happen at any time, even in the middle of the night.
I kind of liken it to a newborn all over again, because she doesn't wake up. She sleeps through the loud alarms that are right in her ear, and she sleeps through several juice boxes during the night, applesauce pouches. She sleeps through all of it. So it's like a newborn getting up all the time, except it's a life or death situation.
Morgan wears a continuous glucose monitor on one of her arms, which gives her real-time blood sugar numbers. On the other arm, a special device that provides her essential medicine 24/7.
That's like what I have on my arm. I have these devices. They put insulin in me and one checks my blood sugar.
The Kale family credits JDRF, which raises money for research and care for T1D.
We're in a good spot, I think, with being able to have these devices, right? It has made managing it a whole lot easier than it would have been even 5-10 years ago. So the work that they're doing, the research, it's pretty amazing.
Go, girl. Back on the soccer field, the future looks bright for Morgan on and off the pitch.
Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? You have any idea?
a famous soccer player, and I'm not really sure. I'm not thinking about that.
You got time.
Yeah, I'm only 9.
So Morgan's 10 now and doing great. An amazing young woman who's raising money for Breakthrough T1D, formerly known as JDRF. And we're hosting the big walk at Greenfield Park on Saturday. Really looking forward to that. Honored to be a part of that again and raising money myself too, hoping to help with the cause.
And we can help by...
Yes, if you text the word walk, W-A-L-K, to 855-616-1620. If you'd like to donate to my team, I would mean the world to me. Walk, 855-616-1620. And by the way, it's working because there is actually a drug now that is approved by the FDA. I know people have used it. A young man here locally has used it that will help prevent the disease. It's actually preventing the disease from triggering in people. So that's one step closer to a cure. If you're actually keeping it from happening, that's one step closer. So thank you.